On the bar in front of me, a tea candle meekly flickered at the end of its wick as I sat next to my husband and wondered how I was going to tell him what I had to tell him. We had just gotten married 2 months before. It was 2012, and we were enjoying the world of newlyweds, our life together on its new trajectory. But my life alone was flatlining, a tire spinning in the mud, a roller coaster car stuck upside down in midair. I swiveled the ice cubes in my glass full of bourbon and stared down the candle's croaking ember. That's me, I thought. That's me right there in the form of fading fire. The flame dwindled as I gulped down my bourbon and proceeded to tell my husband that I was pregnant, but was planning to terminate the pregnancy. I'll never forget the look on his face, a shattering I had instantly caused, a spark of joy pummeled into anguish. He was devastated in that moment, destroyed and blindsided. I cannot remember any other time in my life when I had inflicted this type of pain on another person, especially a person who I loved so much and who is my entire world. I didn't want to hurt him, but I made the choice because I didn't want to hurt anymore either. I had been experiencing a long-term devastation that was omnipresent, an all-consuming, all-encompassing kind of grief. I had come to the end of one very long chapter of my life as a child actress, and now as an adult, I was fully out of inspiration and devoid of direction. I was 29 years old and completely lost. Lost in a way that I couldn't see a future for myself. Lost in a way that isolated me from others. Lost in a way that felt permanently perilous. I had spent so much of my young life in the entertainment business, performing the moments of other people's lives as an actress. The only thing I had ever known how to do was channel someone else's art, be someone else's muse, live someone else's life, speak someone else's words. I began my career when I was just 9 years old, acting in a few low-budget films, and by the time I turned 11, I landed a major role on the soap opera General Hospital, a job that would last 7 years. While other teenagers were going to school to get an education, I was going to a film studio to play a heroin-addicted former model whose mother had died of cancer. After I left that show at the age of 17, I guest-starred in a few TV shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and then I landed a starring role in the cult TV show Joan of Arcadia and didn't stop working, or stop to think about stopping working, for the next 10 years. This is not to say I had a bad childhood. I just had a confusing one. When you've spent your whole life pretending to be other people for a living, it is sometimes hard to know what you are capable of becoming or what you will want once you've stopped. So here I was, sitting in a bar, a grown woman who owned a house and a car and had a damn good man in my life, and yet I had absolutely no motivation for living anymore. I was in a deep psychic holding pattern with no sense of what was coming next or who I was. I didn't want to literally die, but I was craving some kind of existential ceasing. I desperately needed to find a way to stop and then to start over again. And I knew that life couldn't stay the way it had been for me, that I had so much more to offer besides auditioning for acting roles. But what I had been experiencing was a sort of invisible alphabet. I saw my life at A and could see the bright, glowing Z of my potential in the distance, but couldn't manifest the letters in between to get there. In my early 20s, years before I got married, I could feel the dawning of my own personal doom. I could feel myself starting to come undone. The identity cast I had spent years plastering for myself was beginning to crack, and suddenly the things that defined me were no longer feeding me. I would go into auditions half-assed, half-caring, half-prepared. When I was 28, I went in to read for the director of a film starring Meryl Streep and couldn't seem to retain a single line of the short monologue I had prepared from the script. Normally, I would have excelled in a situation like this, but this time, My body and my mouth wouldn't let me tell this story that was not my own. I began to sweat and could only tell the director I was sorry. "Don't worry," he said to me kindly. "Take your time." Taking my time wasn't the problem, though. My relationship to myself and the world was the problem. Being a lifelong object for a living was the problem. Creative stasis was the problem. I left the audition and broke down in tears in the elevator, shaking and confused. When the doors opened onto the lobby, an actress who looked just like me stepped in as I stepped out, neither of us saying a word to each other, like two mirrors reflecting a single, hollowed-out body. Things were bad and seemed to only be getting worse. A few weeks after the audition experience, on the eve of my wedding, my agency of 15 years dropped me as a client. My agent was extremely apologetic, saying she didn't even realize it was the weekend of my wedding. Let this tell you everything you need to know about how invested she was in me. Moments later, my fiancé, David, came into my office, and I couldn't bring myself to look him in the eye. "You shouldn't be with me," I told him with tears dribbling down my chin. "You should be with someone who has their shit together." He held me tight and said, "Honey, Selma Hayek is already married, you know that."